In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When the eighth day had come, the son of the promise was circumcised. God does nothing by chance. He did not choose the sixth day, the seventh day, or the tenth day for circumcision, but he chose the eighth day. For eight is the number of the new creation, a day filled with forgiveness, life, salvation, peace, joy, and hope. There is no tear or sadness on this day, no pain, grief, regret, or mourning. Death cannot steal this day, and the grave cannot end it. So this eighth day is a perpetual day, since it is tied to the new creation. Circumcision was a sign of faith, which for the Old Testament believer meant that he had to follow the law of Moses. And so this was Israel. Israel was not simply a particular bloodline, though it was that, and it's important that it was, for God gave his promise of a Savior to Abraham. But Israel was anyone who believed the promise of Abraham, who lived by faith waiting for that Savior to come. And so God commanded Abraham to circumcise not simply his sons, but every male in his household. They were called out of the nations to be a people of God. They were set apart, dedicated to God, and they were to live waiting for the promise of a Savior. Their old ways of life were gone, and they lived a life for God. They called upon the Lord their God and sacrificed to him alone. Every idol was rejected, for they served the living God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, and with all their mind. They were made new, dedicated to the Lord as a royal priesthood, for he had made them holy and his own people on that eighth day. The sign of circumcision, then, was tied to the law of Moses. If one was to follow the law of Moses, he must be circumcised. And if one was circumcised, then he was obligated to keep the whole law. And so this sign of circumcision was painful because it placed man underneath that law, which he could not fulfill. The curse hung over his head, for his fallen flesh clung to him. The removal of the foreskin did little to remove the fallen nature. The law was good, but man was not. And so the son of the promise, coming from their descendants, would be the one to remove that fallen nature. The stony knife drew blood, for the two stone tablets of the law brought death to the sinner. They lost their blood. A little sign of the death that was coming, a little pain of the curse that afflicted them. So on this day, they remembered that they were sinners and could not save themselves or escape death on their own. But remember, this is also the eighth day. They would die, but one of their sons would be the divine son of the promise, who would set them free from death, remove their pain, and destroy the curse forever. He would be a blessing to all nations. So on this eighth day from Christmas, that son of the promise submits to the stony knife and takes our place underneath the law. He who gave the law subjects himself to the law. Here is the fulfiller of the law, who bears on his infant shoulders the weight of that law. Yet he does not chafe underneath the burden, but he lives like us. He has needs even as we have needs. And he followed all the rituals of an Old Testament believer. However, he remained without sin. He loved the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, and with all his mind. And he loved his neighbor as himself, never turning to the right nor to the left. So as his infant voice cries out in pain, the name Jesus is given. For he will save his people from their sins by enduring their pain. Here he is marked as a victim on this day. Today he is the sacrifice, the divine ram who will die in the place of not only Isaac, but of all people. Today anticipates his bloody death. Today looks forward to Calvary. Today he begins his work of salvation for us. He suffers, he bleeds, but he does not yet die. For the scriptures first must be fulfilled. He must live a perfect life in our place. To be sure, his little body feels the sting of our sins and the pain of our curse. His holy flesh is cut unjustly. The sinless bleeds for the sinner. The holy cries out for the unholy. For remember, it is the eighth day, a day of new life, of new creation, a day of freedom, peace, joy, hope that shall have no end. Forgiveness defines this day. So the stone cuts, but not forever. The blood flows, but not forever. For he will remove the curse and close the grave so that we might once more be his people. And so it must be bloody. The life of a creature is in its blood, and blood alone atones for sin. We confess that he redeemed us not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. So he could not die by being stoned. Blood was necessary to atone for sin. Blood appeases God. Blood grants us access into heaven, but the blood of man could not accomplish any of this. Countless men were circumcised, and yet not one of them was able to free themselves, much less anyone else, from sin and death. Rather, death swallowed them up. But this Son of Man is also the Son of God. He bled on this eighth day to begin his work of atonement. And 33 years later, in pain, this same Jesus will once more cry out, "It is finished." He died in your place. He bore your sins. He fulfilled the law. He wiped away the curse. He set you free, for he is Jesus, your Savior. And the stony knife that once placed him underneath that stony law now sealed him in a stone tomb. But God does nothing by chance. He did not choose the sixth day, the seventh day, or the tenth day, but he chose the eighth day for his resurrection. Eight is the number of the new creation. For Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. It is a day of forgiveness, joy, peace, hope, and eternal glory. No pain, no sadness, no tears, no sorrow. Death cannot steal this resurrection day, and the grave cannot end it. For Jesus lives. Today is the day of resurrection. For he who bled for us has risen for us, not to give us a ceremonial sign of faith, but to give us a new birth that actually imparts faith. Holy baptism. Not with a stony knife, but in a baptismal bath, our fallen flesh is cut off, and we are brought into the new Israel. For remember, Israel is not simply a particular bloodline, but it is all those who believe and are baptized. Your old way of life is gone. You have been separated from this world, cut off from the nations. No longer do you serve your lusts and desires, but you serve the true and living God. You call upon the Lord alone. You sacrifice your offerings to him alone. Every other idol and religion is rejected, for they cannot lead to salvation. The Lord alone has your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. He has made you new on this day, a new creation in Christ, washed you and set you free. Unlike circumcision, baptism is not painful, because it does not place you underneath the Mosaic law. But like circumcision, baptism is also quite bloody. It's just not your blood. Peer into those waters and see the rosy red blood of your Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, streaming from his side. It is the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, which cleanses you from all sin. Whatever sin you may have, whatever guilt or regrets from this past year or years past, whatever shortcomings or curse still clings to you, this precious stream has washed away. There is no stronger soap, It bites and eats both sin and death in an instant. It perfects, it gladdens, it sanctifies. You are new, different, holy, set apart, not outwardly, at least not yet, but inwardly. The flint knife could only remove a piece of flesh, but these beautiful waters have coursed over you and in you and through you, searching and destroying every speck of sin. Not one was forgotten. All is cut off from you. And so you were baptized on this eighth day, for baptism has given you freedom, life, joy, peace, forgiveness. It has brought you into the new creation that will soon be revealed when our Lord returns. Baptism has united you to Christ and to his resurrection. So you live because he lives. And so on this eighth day, the holy infant bleeds and cries and is named Jesus, because he will accomplish all of that for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.